Okay. Thank you. This was all on me now, not it. So, I didn't get to finish last week. Started and got the first point and didn't get anywhere else. So, we're going to go back to part two, and we're going to read Romans again. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, this is Romans, begin at 8, Romans 8, again, this is verse 14, New King James Version. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. And I don't want to repeat everything last week, but just to put us, have continuity here, have it all together. We talked about the Holy Spirit, and you have him, and he's the spirit of truth. He's the spirit of comfort. He's the spirit of family. And there were some unlesses in here, and remember these. He's the spirit of truth unless you don't want the truth. There's a lot of people who don't want to really hear the truth. There's a lot of people in churches today who do not want to hear God's truth. They want to be pleased, entertained, feel good, but they don't want to hear the truth of the Word of God. And they don't want to hear that God's Word says you have responsibilities. But the sad part is, without hearing that, you don't get to hear the other part that says, and if you will let me through my Spirit guide you to fulfill those responsibilities, I will bless you. What is he saying? Far exceeding anything you can ask or imagine. And so people say, I want God to bless me, and it seems like I never get the blessings. And this is not true of everybody, but one of the questions to ask yourself if you go through those times kind of feeling sorry for yourself or you're around someone who's complaining like that, and ask them, are you doing everything you know to do to live in his truth, to serve him in truth, to put yourself out there where you need to be? You're a soldier of the cross. We watched these soldiers last night and walking in the parade. Every one of us are soldiers. Our uniform is holiness. It's not camouflage. And we walk in the army of God, and we have to put ourselves out there on the line. And we get shot at, and we get wounded. We get hit. And it's a fact of life. And in so many places right now, people are going to be told, they call themselves churches, and they're going to be told how great it is, you know, and that God just can't wait to bless you. And you just got to stand out there and oh, Lord, just ask him for the blessings. And if you have enough faith, he's just going to fill your little truck up with gold. And if you think that's an exaggeration, just listen to some of them. And how, you know, it's like, I can't believe you're telling these people this stuff. God says what? Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and what? All these things you need will be given to you, but you seek me. You don't just stand there and believe in faith, I'm going to do all this and do nothing. So you have the Holy Spirit. Listen, God doesn't ever ask you to do something that he won't fully equip you to do. Keep that in mind. And if you're doing something, you're saying it's for the Lord, but you're saying, I'm just not equipped for this. Something's not right. Well, step back and say, is this of me or is it of God? Because he won't call you to do something he didn't give you the equipment to work with. The courage of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth, comfort, family, and the protection, provision. God equips his people. He won't send you onto the battlefield without the equipment to fight with. He's not going to tell you to go take on the enemy, the bad guy out there, and without your weapon and ammunition. And your headgear. And all your battle rattle. And all the stuff you got to put on. He's going to fully equip you. And how does he equip you? With the full armor of God. We have armor. We just don't see it, but we have it. It's the belt of truth around our waist. The breastplate of righteousness. Just like a bulletproof vest. Except it's against the enemy. The unseen enemy. And the fiery darts he throws at. And so we have the breastplate of righteousness. And the helmet. We wear a combat helmet. It's called the helmet of salvation. That's what the army of God is. You ever think about it that way? And in our hand we have what? The shield of faith to deflect all the fiery darts of the enemy. And our feet shod with the preparation gospel of peace. We got on our combat boots to dig in. And then what does it say that we have? And we hold in our hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, what else do you need to go to battle? And we have that. Put on your equipment and go in truth, go in faith. The devil starts accusing you of being a lousy lowdown and you're a failure, and everything you try to do, you know, you cuss and you lose your temper and you yell at drivers on the highway and you do all that silly stuff, but you're still one of his soldiers. And he doesn't cast you off because you're human. Is everybody with me? And we've gone over this so many times before, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's a few of you that don't like to yell at people on the freeway. Maybe you drive down there and bless them all. And they cut in front of you, cut you off, pull in front of you, hit their brakes. You're slamming on the brakes. You're saying, praise the Lord. God bless them today. And if you do that, God bless you for it. And the rest of us, we have to repent all the time. Because the truth is that you have to repent. Confess your sins before God. If we confess our sins before Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's in 1 John. You read that. And it doesn't say we won't sin. It says we will sin, but we just keep confessing. We stay confessional. So let's move on with this. So we have the Spirit of truth, unless you don't want the truth. And so many people don't want to hear the truth. I remember I think it was A Few Good Men in that movie when the Colonel, Jack Nicholson, he said, the truth, you can't handle the truth. You remember that? Anybody remember that statement? Well, you know, I've thought about that many times. It's like there's many a Christian that can't handle the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They're going to be held accountable for every idle word that they speak. I don't want to hear that. But it's the truth, and so I need to hear it. And that God expects something of me. He expects me to be better today than I was yesterday. He expects me to listen to Him a little more than I was listening to Him before. He expects me to listen to His truth and to act on it. He's a Spirit of comfort. He will comfort you in your pain. He will walk you through whatever it is you're suffering with. Unless what? Unless you don't want to quit playing the victim. Because when you're the victim, you can always say it's somebody else's fault. And worst of all, be honest. You can look up and say, what's happened to me, God could have prevented it, so it's God's fault. Now, I'm just speaking straight here because that's what people do. And, I mean, I've had many a person say to me, when I ask them, say, why did you marry that person? What drew you to them? You're so turned off by them now. I don't know. They were this and that and that. But you didn't ever look at the truth, did you? You didn't look at their fruits, did you? And here's what I get back. Well, I asked God if they weren't the right one for me to take them away, to stop it. And you've heard me mention this way back in the past. And it's like, God would have had to kill you to stop you from marrying them. You were so caught up in them. Is that the truth? Are you listening to any truth? I mean, you go back and did you listen to truth? I mean, you're just crazy in love, you know. I'm in love, you know. And well, what if did you ask God, if you don't want this, would you just stop it? You might have prayed that. Did you mean it? No, you're hoping He wouldn't do a thing. And God is saying, you wouldn't be here now if I really had to do what I had to do to stop it. And so then you can play the victim. And friends, can't stress enough, don't be the victim in life. Take responsibility for your actions, your words. Don't blame God. Does God let things happen? He sure does. He'll let things happen to His people. Because He's cruel? No, because it's the only way to get our attention most of the time. It's the only way to break us of pride. It's the only way to keep us humble. I'm not trying to stand here and explain for God. I'm just telling you how it works. I don't know all of it and all of His reasoning. He's God, I'm not. But He lets things happen that have to happen. He tells us that. Everything that happens, He's going to use and work it to our good. He causes everything to work to the good of those that love Him or call according to His purpose. But He allows it for a reason. If anything's happening to you right now, you're having family troubles, kid troubles, work troubles, physical troubles, and you're saying, God could have stopped this. Yes, he could. So why didn't he? There's something in it. There's some reason. There's something God's doing through it. It's for you or for others or for something you can't have any possible idea. But it's not in vain. And let me tell you something. You can't go out there into battle and not get shot at. And very few come back without some kind of wounds. You're going to come back wounded emotionally. And every Christian that's engaged in combat against the enemy, the devil and his demon servants and the people that serve him, you're going to come back emotionally wounded. You will have spiritual PTSD. And you'll have to talk to God about it and you'll struggle with it. Does anybody in this room think that after 40-something years of this that I probably don't have some spiritual PTSD, some deep wounds, scars? Of course I do. And anybody that served the Lord out there on the front lines and had to get involved in the lives of people, you've been wounded. You've had terrible things said to you. You've had cutting remarks. You've had people to cuss you out, yell at you, hope you die. Well, name it, they've done it. And those are the wounds from Christianity, from being involved, friends. And you're going to get hit. You may not show outwardly, but you're sure going to get hit. And you keep marching, and you learn through it, and you're a tougher and better soldier of the cross. And then the Holy Spirit of comfort is there to say, I got you. I'm not going to let you go. God knew this was going to happen. It's part of being in his service. It's part of being a soldier. Look at your commander. They hung him on a cross. He got involved and he took on the enemy, the bad guys. He brought in a whole new way of life and freedom from religion, freedom from everything, freedom to be who God wants us to be. And for that, they shot him and they killed him. They wounded him and put him to death. And he's your boss. He's your commander. If it happened to him and then God raised him from the dead. So if it happened to him, what do you think is going to happen to his troops? Because Jesus Christ will lead you into those areas of life that are tough and they're rough, where people need to see the shining light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're it. And you're going to get wounded. So what? He showed me through all the wounds I have. Now some you can physically see, and others that's just in my heart and in my soul. Tony, I make you better through it, and it's part of it. It's what living as a Christian, a real Christian, is all about. And we have the Holy Spirit of family. He binds us together, helps us like each other. Do you really think that all of us could meet together Sunday after Sunday after Sunday with all of our little quirks and jerks and weird things about us and really love and like each other unless the Holy Spirit made it that way? Some of us would aggravate the dickens out of each other every Sunday. There'd be people sitting over here, some over there, won't talk to each other. That happens in a lot of places. You know why it does? Because they're not leaning on the Holy Spirit, not trusting the Holy Spirit to make them into family. They come in with their own agendas, their own ideas. They want the church to be what they want it to be. They want everybody to talk like them, look like them, act like them. Well, God's going to see to it that that doesn't happen. Aren't you glad? You can look up here and say, thank you, that I don't look like him. You know, and I can look out, and I don't do that, but we could, and I don't act like that. Aren't you glad you don't have some of the habits that others, you know about the habits they have? Aren't you glad you don't have those? Just weird things, silly things. And I saw some guy, you know, here not long ago, and, you know, you just, especially at stoplight, don't you like to look over, we all do, it's human nature, you look over and watch, see what they're doing. And some guy's pulling hairs out of his mustache. I heard sitting there going, oh, oh, oh. And he wasn't watching, and he pluck, pluck. And I thought, that's a heck of a place to do it. I'm glad I don't have that habit. Now, I do it at home, you know, but not at the stoplight. You know the worst ones? If you have a mustache, It's when right when you don't want it to happen, one of those little hairs curls up and starts sticking you. Everybody know what I'm talking about? And you're and people think you're doing something else much more ugly, you know, think, oh, he's picking something. No, he's trying to get that one curled up little thing, and it'll just sit there. And it's of the devil. It's a devil hair, and it's just there to torment. And you can't find it. It slips through every time. Okay, never mind. Why'd I get off on that? I don't know. The Holy Spirit is here to deliver you, by the way, from fear of condemnation, judgment, because we're all going to feel condemned at times. We're all going to feel judged at times. We're going to be judged by other people and condemned by other people. Do not accept what other people say about you. Accept what God says. You're here for Jesus Christ, not anybody else. You love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. But you don't let them influence you. So let's move on. We have God's promises. That's the second thing we need to know. It's knowing what you have. You have the Holy Spirit. And he teaches you and he guides you. He directs you. And then God gives you his promises. What's one of the key promises that you have? That if you what? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, what does that say in Romans? You shall be saved. Make sure you believe. Make sure you do believe that. Make sure you brought yourself. You know, he said, come and, you know, and confess your sins. If you walk in the light, is Jesus in the light? You have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. And the other one I quoted earlier, if we confess our sins before him, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You got to do that on a daily basis. Yes, your sins, when you ask Jesus in your heart, are forgiven. But if you don't keep confessing, the confessional is to keep you from moving out of fellowship. Because when you begin to feel guilty, you begin to feel like you've done something wrong and you won't fess up to it. It's just like doing something wrong in a relationship and there's this barrier between you. You're not close in it anymore. That's why God says keep confessing, because you'll start ducking and hiding. And you listen, if any of you are carrying a secret like that, come to Jesus Christ right now and get it confessed to him. Because it'll ruin your relationships with him, and it'll ruin your relationship to other people. You'll get out of fellowship because of it. That's why confession is necessary. And we have the promise that God says, what? I'll never leave you, forsake you. And call unto me, and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. And over in John it says, Jesus said, if anyone believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And he follows it right up in the next verse. And he said, and whatever you ask in my Jesus' name, that I will do, that the Father be glorified in the Son. Those are his promises. As I said earlier, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the things that you want and you need, he said, I'll take care of you. I'll provide them. All I ask you to do is put me first. Stop running out doing whatever you want to do on Sunday or any other day and ask me, is this in your will? Am I doing what you want? Is what I'm about to buy or do or get involved in or do this, go here, go there? Is this your will or is this just my fantasy? And God says, I'll bless you for it if you'll seek me first. That's a promise. He'll never leave or abandon us. He'll make everything work to our good. That's over in Romans. I mean, there's so much. You know, Romans 8:28. Mark it down. I use it a lot. And so if you haven't marked it, mark it down. God causes everything, all things work together for the good of those who are the, you know, who are called according to his purpose. God, because he loves them. You can read it. I paraphrase a little bit, but, and he'll not leave you. He won't betray you. And by the way, you know something I just love about him? I can tell God anything and he'll never tell anybody else. Whatever I tell God is between me and him. He's the best secret keeper you'll ever know. He's the most loyal being you'll ever come up against. You can tell him anything. He knows it already. But you can tell him, and the secret will stay right there. Except when you do the next thing, and it's really cool. I'm going to get to that in a moment. And I'll tell you something. God promises that he'll help you put everything behind you and leave your past in the past. Listen, I hit this a lot because I deal with it a lot with nearly everybody I talk to that shares their problems. They can't get out of their past. They think they are, and then suddenly something triggers, some movie, some song, relatives, who wonder, and they're back on a certain event that just haven't got rid of. Now listen, go over to Philippians, and Paul tells you, he said, I haven't accomplished all the things that I teach about. I get that frustration. I have it all the time. I have to bring the message, told you last week, and I know there's so much of it that I still got to work on. He said the same thing. Paul. So Paul was in that fix. I feel better. He said, this one thing I do, though, forgetting what lies behind, I press on to what lies ahead, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What was he saying? I can leave my past only by pressing on to something higher. So many of you try to get back and get away from things, and you don't set a goal out here to move you from it. If you don't, you're going to keep turning back and looking. You've got to have something bigger than your past, and that's Jesus Christ. And he said, I go for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's bigger than my horrid, horrible past where I tortured people, where I hurt Christians so bad. And he said, what's bigger than that? How can I overcome this pain? Because Jesus Christ is bigger than that. He rose from the dead. He walked out of the tomb. He knocked me off my horse. And he said, Paul, you know, why are you kicking against me? He got my attention. That's what he's saying. And he's bigger than my past. You need to let, now, this day, let Jesus Christ, your hope of glory, be bigger than whatever it was that happened to you or that you did to someone, they did to you, whatever it was, and focus on him, go towards that, and the heck with the rest of it. And if somebody else wants to bring it up, tell them, that's fine. You go live with it. If you want to crawl around in my past, have at it. I'm moving on in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's good stuff. You need to take it to your heart. One other thing, and then we're going to close with this last point. When you're hurt by people, you're disappointed by them, you're frustrated with them, especially when you're growing up, you know what you tend to do? You tend to take those things, the characteristics of the people that hurt you, and transfer them to God. If you're a kid and grew up in a home and parents were real strict, overly religious, or paid no attention at all, that's the only example, especially if they're supposed to be Christian people, just think about it. That's your idea of the authority of God. Either he's too strict, he's always punishing you, he's just full of rules and regulations, or he just didn't give a rip, whatever you do. You know what so many Christian kids that supposedly in Christian families are being taught today? That God doesn't care. God's not paying attention. You know why? Because they've got dads and moms that pitch a cell phone in their hands or give them a tablet when they're real little and say, go take that. And don't spend not one lick of time with them. So they're going to grow up thinking, that's God. Just get out, go on, get away from me. I don't have time for you. And we talk about all these horrible kids, and it's some tough generations, but listen, there's some parents out there that are pretty horrible themselves. It's not the kids all the time. A lot of times it's the parents who just flat are so selfish and self-centered that they won't take time to pay attention to their own children. Now, I know this may sound tough, and it is, and I won't back up from it. Now, I don't blame parents for everything a kid does, because they get to an age and they're going to make their decisions, and oh, Lordy. But friends, you think about it, and that when I see a family, supposedly a family, sitting at a table, and every one of them are looking at a cell phone and texting, I just wish I had the authority to walk up and say, give me those. Would you like to look each other in the eye? And sir, would you like to look at your children and say, I love you? Let's talk about you for a minute, instead of looking at that stinking cell phone and not communicating at all. And you see it all the time. What kind of family is that? And what are you teaching them about God? Nothing. Nothing. You think about it. Now, that wasn't in the notes, I'm sorry. But we transfer our weaknesses, our failures. Think about what you're doing. We got a lot of grandparents in here when you're around kids, you know, whatever. Think about it. Just a minute. They're looking at me. I want to present the best side of God I can to them. I don't want to get mad. I want to lose my temper here, but I want to be firm. Teach me God. See, go to God, appeal to Him. Show me how to be tough and tender here. Show me how to be so tender-hearted and loving, and yet when I need to be tough, just like you are. Okay, He's calling. God's tough and tender. He can be tough when I'm out of line, when I'm getting out of fellowship, when I'm disobeying and not confessing it, and so tender when I do. And I can be praying like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I haven't ever prayed where I sweated blood. But you can be really intense and really hurt and really wounded. And suddenly you just sense it. You don't see it, but you just sense it, because you're being honest and open and broken through whatever it is. You just sense the presence of angels around you and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And God is there. And He said, I've got you. I'm taking care of you. It's okay. I know. I know. I've been there. I know what it's like to be alone, to be abandoned. I know what it's like to face something out there you just dread. But I'm with you always, even to what? The ends of the earth. I close with this. You have prayer. You have the promise of prayer. Don't you ever forget it. Know what you have. You can pray. You can pray anytime you want. We can talk to God in private, and He rewards us openly. Hebrews 4:16, I won't read it, but you can go look it up, says that we can come and the confidence to come right before God at His throne of grace. And not, you know, we don't have to go through anyone or anything. We come right to God in the mercy seat, and we can appeal to God directly to Him. We don't have to have another human being or nobody else. We're coming straight through our faith in Jesus Christ to God the Father. Where it used to be in the Old Testament, there was a curtain that separated the people from the altar of the atonement. Only the high priest could go in there and offer the sacrifice for them. They couldn't be close to God. They had to go through an intermediary. And now that curtain was ripped when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He tore it. That's the reason the curtain was torn in the temple. If you go back and look at that, it's because God was saying, I don't want a man. I don't want a human being between you and me. Come to me through Jesus Christ. He's your great high priest. Now get in here, yeah, and come to the mercy seat and receive forgiveness, receive mercy, receive my blessings, receive the best I have to give to you. And it's good. And so let me read this to you. And I marked it in Matthew chapter 6. You know it well. I want to close with it. It goes like this. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Everybody get that? He said, get alone with me. There's time to pray in public. We do that here like today. But He said, there's some times you need to just get in your place. Your private place, and pray in secret to me. And I'll reward you openly. Won't ever share a secret, but I'll reward you openly for coming to me like that. That's what He says. That's His promise. That's great stuff. He says, so you ask in secret. I'll reward you. Everybody can see that I'm in your life, and I'm blessing you, and I'm here to help you. And He said, when you pray, listen to this, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think they'll be heard for their many words. Some of us have been, and I did. What little church I had growing up till I was a senior in high school and was really asked Jesus in my heart and got saved. That the training was all this jabbering, right? Most of you know that two different denominations swap back and forth, but there was just blah, 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 you know, and stuff I didn't understand. And it was constant jabbering and repetition, going over and over and over prayers. And then one day, it's like somehow, you know, you get saved and you're thinking, and God says, "Do you think I'm deaf? I mean, you have to repeat the same prayer 15, 20, 25 times. I heard you the first time." And Jesus points it out here. I mean, he just lays it in their face. He said, when you pray, don't use a bunch of vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they're going to be heard because they just keep saying it over and over. Look, if you need something, go to him and say it. "God, my car's not running good. I don't have the money. Would you help me? I've got to have transportation." You don't have to come back and say it another way. "You know, I think that thing's going to break down. It's like he's saying to you, "I heard you. I heard you." You don't have to use a bunch of vain repetition. You know, don't give some, you know, a litany of stuff. "I got it." That's why Jesus gave the model prayer. They call it the Lord's Prayer. That's actually in John 17. This is a model prayer. Here's what he says, because this is part of our closing. He said, when you don't be like them, don't keep going over and over. Just come to me, and you can do it every day, but don't keep just saying it, and going through a bunch of stuff, and you know where I'm heading with that. I mean, really. He said, this way I want you to pray. Be direct, and just cover the bases, and add whatever in here that needs to be added. But he said, let me give you a start, a model prayer, and you don't have to just pray this, but you fill in some places here. He said, but this is format to follow. Our Father in heaven, this won't be up here. I'm just going to need to finish this. And this is our finishing prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He said, this is the way to do it. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You get this? He said, I want you to pray that God's will, not your will, be done. So you say it however you need to say it. This is a model. This is an outline how to do it. And he said, give us this day our daily bread. And he said, what he's saying is, feed me spiritually. Feed me physically. Feed me emotionally. I need strength. I need energy. I need vitality from you, Lord. And forgive us our debts or our sins as we forgive those, our debtors or those who sin against us, depending on what translation you use. And he's saying this, there's a responsibility here. And he said, Lord, I want you to pray to me and say, forgive me, and I'll forgive you. But he said, I want you to hold a responsibility in your life. If you're asking me to forgive you, I want you to allow my grace in your heart so strongly that you will forgive others as I forgive you. And that's how you pray. It's a model prayer. There's the outline. It's just Jesus simplified it. And he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I'm going to tell you something. I pray this for myself. I pray it for other young pastors. I pray it for you. God, don't let me be tempted today. Don't let someone or something come into my life that would appeal to the weakness of my flesh, that would catch me tired and off guard. Don't let me look up and there's just that wrong influence. And I ask God to remove all seducing spirits from my life that's tied in with this. Don't let me be caught unaware. Don't let me lose my temper. Don't let me get so angry at someone that I can't see what you're doing. Don't let me be bitter. So that's how, I don't do this every day, but very often. Because I pray it for other pastors, because anything that God wants to slam at a pastor, if he can seduce them, and not God, but the devil, if the devil, seduction, get them tied up in something that they never dreamed of going to, but there's a weakness when you serve the Lord. There's a tiredness. There's a spiritual wearing outness. Elijah got it, went out and lay down wanting to die. And sometimes you just feel so lonely, so broken, so much in despair. You have to pray, God, don't let the wrong thing come here and fill this need the wrong way. Is everybody with me? You need to pray it for each other. You need to pray it for me. You need to pray it for every pastor you know. Pray, but we can all be seduced in some form or another, right? It doesn't have to be sexual seduction, but seduced into debt, envy, greed, drinking, taking something we shouldn't take, smoking something we shouldn't smoke. So, enough. This is the model, and you work off of it. Don't lead us into temptation, but what? Deliver us from the evil one. And I ask God to continue to do what Jesus did, what was prophesied in Genesis. God, keep crushing his head. And close my ears and my eyes, my heart and my mind to his lies and his murderous ways. And keep me focused on the truth. As Colossians says, keep my eyes on him. Keep my thoughts up there, not here. Now that's how I pray this. And then yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Not the president, not the vice president, not somebody in Congress. It isn't some religious leader. It's not my church. It's not a pastor. It's nobody. Yours. Yours only. Yours. You're the only one, God, that deserves the honor and the glory. And God, help me this day, every day, to give it to you and not take it for myself. Don't let me draw attention to myself, but help me, God, to put it all on you. That's how I pray it. All the time. Don't let me ever think I'm something more than I am. But God, it's all about you, and keep me focused on you, and keep all the church focused on you. That's my prayer. That's God's word. That's it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you for being here.